It takes time. Somebody told me this morning it takes a lot of time in life. But you know, we all have the same amount of time. It's just what we choose to do with it, how we tend to spend it. Yesterday, I woke up early and I said, you know, it was raining. Methodist men were having breakfast. It was before that. They were getting ready. I knew they were over there cooking and working away, and I thought, I'm not going. No offense. I love y'all. But I said, you know, I don't have to go. I'm sorry. Okay, Lord, I'm tired. I went back to bed. Didn't take me long to do it. And I said, okay, well, then I just took my time. And I probably slept more yesterday than I have slept. And I don't know when. And I thought, gosh, I got up, I cooked my mom and I. We called it, it was breakfast and lunch all in one. We done the one meal. And it just kind of laid around yesterday. I did little things I needed to do. I mean, I done some obvious things, but I just didn't do a whole lot. And I thought, man. But I felt kind of, as the old saying is, right unnecessary. Have you ever felt unnecessary? That you just didn't have anything to do. But I had 100 things I could have been doing, but I just didn't want to do them. And I took my time, and after a while, I mean, I washed and rolled her hair. We done lots of things. We done little things, but I just didn't jump into that stack of stuff that's in my office that needs doing. And because it's going to always be there in some respect. Some things will be taken off that pile, but others will be put back on that pile. Some things, after a while, I look at it and I say, you know, I really don't have to do this. And it kind of goes into garbage. So you just kind of have lists. I make lists and I do like to check things off. But you know, time is of the essence of what we do. And of course, we know we got ready and for everything last night and had our church's Christmas party. And it was a nice time. And then right there at me where I was sitting, Hunter was sitting there. And right towards the end, I mean, of the playing the Santa game that everybody enjoys so much. And he said, well, go ahead. Somebody don't go pick that last present. Keep it going. I said, some of us have got things to do. He said, and his daddy said, yeah, when you get about 40, you'll figure that out, son. It's time to go home. It was getting late. The hour's getting late. So I finished like I always do. I work on these things during the week, but I never... Sometimes I get them done on Friday and Saturday, early. And then sometimes I don't. But it takes time in this world. And that's what Peter's talking about. What are we doing with our time? Are we preparing? And all about this month of Advent, all about these four Sundays that we're in the second Sunday of, is about preparation. That's what Advent means, is preparing, waiting, anticipating. And we have lit the candle of hope last Sunday and the candle of love today. Next Sunday will be the candle of joy. The fourth Sunday will be the candle of peace. And on Christmas Eve, we'll come together and we'll light the Christ candle, which is the candle of light. It brings the light into the world. But we need to think about those things when we think about people and the stories that we hear. And there's three different stories this morning. It's just a little synopsis of them that you will listen to, I hope. It says she's alone. After 61 years of marriage, she's alone. After funeral that day, her daughter wanted to spend the night with her, but she wanted to be alone. The pastor's parting words were to her, "It takes time." Here sits a couple. They are trying again. Things got so busy. Time just flew by. And now two strangers stare at each other across a breakfast table. So they are trying to rekindle that spark in their marriage. The counselor says to them, "You didn't get into this situation overnight, and you won't be out of it overnight either. It takes time." Cancer was the last word that she wanted to hear. And they said to her, they got it all. Today she takes that last agonizing treatment. But what in a few minutes of light of the time it could buy her? But what if just that few minutes of light that comes into her day? People say, what are we going to do? She has decided that whether she has one day or 31 years, she will make the best of the time that she has left. You see, she's a young woman who's been told what it could be. Time. Time is our most precious possession. Peter says the time will come in verse 10 as the first generation Christian leaders were dying off. False teachers who scoffed at the second coming were trying to elbow their way into the theology and that process of the early church. Oh, indeed, some people like Mark says in Mark 9:1 and Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 has said again and again and again, we hear it in God's Word, time is short. Time is of the essence. Time is at hand. It will take time. You see, false teachers scoffed at the scene of urgency. They thought these disciples and they thought these prophets were just silly people. Oh, what are y'all? The urgency of it all. But Peter reminds them and us that God keeps His promises about Christ's return in verse 9. Sometimes it just takes time. Christ will come. Christ will come again. We can think about this when we pick up a paper and look at those people who have passed away. And people will say, well, you know, I just saw them a few weeks ago. They were just as happy as could be. We had lunch together. I just saw them the other day, or I just saw them yesterday. A wreck might have taken their life. An accident might have taken their life. A heart attack. Somebody's praying probably at this moment for someone to die. To say, Lord, just go ahead and take them because they've been hurting so long. They've been suffering. It takes time. We never know how long or short it's going to be in this world that we live in. Today, it just reminds us that it just takes a little time. Simon also reminds us that God's time is not necessarily our time. And I used to hate hearing that. That used to just bother me. God's time is not necessarily our time. Well, I want Him to get on my time, you know? I want Him to get on my page. But you know what it is? We need to get on His page or His pages of a book. Quoting Psalm 94, he reiterates that 1,000 years is like a day to God. 1,000 years is like a day. That's what Simon Peter tells us in his Word. When you think of it, it is pure arrogance on our part to think that God has to conform to our schedules and our timetables. I mean, who invented time in the first place? Besides, God uses this time to allow others opportunity to repent. He tells us that in verse 9. He gives us this opportunity because, you know, He says, some have never heard and others need to repent. It gives people time to get things right. It gives people time to let things go. It gives people time to know what is right. We have time to repent. Why shouldn't they? What is a few days' delay in light of eternity? Just a few days. It's just a matter of time. You see, Peter also gives us a word as to how we can prepare for that time. That specific time at the end. We don't know when it's coming. He describes the transition in such terms of radical transformation. He says, surely we should take our preparation seriously. It is something we should all think about. In fact, the false teachers of that day had lost their sense of immediacy and had become laxed in an I don't care lifestyle and attitudes. But Peter points out that we should live lives that are holy and godly. We should live lives that are holy and godly. He tells us that in verse 11. We should make every effort to appear before Him as spotless, blameless, and at peace when the time comes. Verse 14. And verse 15 says, we should be grateful that His delay gives us and others time to prepare. We never know the hour, the moment, when He comes, when His return shall be. It tells us in God's Word that you're going to be going up a hill and one's going to be there and one's going to be gone. You're never going to know the moment or the hour. It says it'll come like a thief in the night. You're never going to know when it happens. You're not going to be warned. You're not going to give a whole lot of opportunity to know what's going to happen. Then He says the most astounding thing in verse 12. He says, He states that we can actually hasten the time of Jesus' coming. Perhaps Simon Peter recalled our Lord's statement that the preaching of the gospel to everyone would precede His coming. Think about that. The preaching the Word, the people being able to hear God's Word, is going to precede His coming. If we want Christ to return soon, guess what we need to do? We need to get out and tell the story to speed the time, to speed it up. Time's a-wasting. Old Snuffy Smith used to say in the comic strip, time's a-wasting. It takes time. Oh, but the time is coming. In that we find hope. We find hope in Peter's wonderful assurance that the time will come when righteousness will find a home. Righteousness will find a home, he tells us in verse 13. Somewhere, sometime, things will be right. We need to get to work. God's good news needs to be told. We need to spread the word. Are we doing what we need to be doing? Are we doing the job He has called us to be about and to do? Or do we have that right relationship that we need to have with Him in order to tell others? You see, it is that hope that sustains the small rural church to cope with dwindling resources and changing leadership. It's also in that hope that sustains the inner city church to deal with the violence that surrounds it and the members fleeing to the comfortable suburbs each and every day. No matter what size church you have, no matter what's going on, no matter how big, little, in between, there's always something happening. There's always grass greener somewhere else. Until we get there and we find out that people live there too. Guess what? Imagine that. People always want something different. They want something new or something better. They want no conflict. They don't want anything. They want everything to be the way they think it should be. And whenever that goes against someone else's ideal or ideas, guess what happens? People get upset and people run other places. Churches pop up everywhere. There's enough churches out there to feel that we could fill them up with people. But guess what? They're about half full this morning. Some maybe a third full. Some maybe a fourth full. Some might be bursting out the seams to overflowing. What we need to do is think about what we are doing and if we're doing it right. To pray about it, to ask God, say, God, what are we doing right? Are we using our time wisely? Have we prepared our hearts and our minds for the time that is at hand? Do we know God's Word well enough to be able to tell somebody about it? Do we know what's in our own heart and soul well enough to tell somebody? How do we do it? How do we help people? You see, we find people each and every day in this world that we live in, just like the ones that we started with, the old widow sitting there waiting, a couple who has lost themselves in amongst it all, someone who has got a diagnosis that's not very good. We find people each and every day. The rent is due. The washer went out. Both children need new shoes. The ex-husband's check is very late because it's late every month. It may not come at all. She wonders how long she can keep it up, how long she can keep up this facade, how long she can pull it together, how long she can continue to rake and scrape. She doesn't know about tomorrow. But for one more day, this day, she has determined to live with integrity, to live with hope, and the refusal to sink into despair. She will live one day at a time. Things to her will get better. She prays. She knows they will. She believes. The time will come. It just takes time. What are we doing with our time? Are we lollygagging? Have we got caught sitting on the tailgate? Wasting time? Have we got caught just laying around not doing anything? Have we come to church with our hearts not ready to serve? Have we come to church not ready to get all we can in Sunday school, Bible study, worship, to allow God to use us? Have we come prepared to worship? I've talked about this before. You come with an open heart, mind, ready to receive that which God has given us. Or have we come more worried about things of the world around us? Sometimes we just come to this place and we don't even know one thing that has happened when we walk out of here. But hopefully and prayerfully, somewhere along the way, somebody has said or done something that you might can recall a little later on. Sometimes we come to this place waiting and hoping that she'll hush by 12 o'clock so that they can get home and get everything done that needs to be done, because they might have somewhere to go this afternoon. You come anticipating what is yet to be. We come talking about time because time is of the essence. Time is at hand. Sometimes when I was in seminary many years ago, the kind of the motto of the seminary was, for such a time as this, that God has called us for such a time as this. And that's exactly what it is everywhere, that God has called you and I to this place now for such a time as this. So this week, as you go out into this world, you are here for such a time as this, and what you do with it is between you and God. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for loving us and blessing us. We ask now, Lord, that you take what we have received from you this morning in word and deed, and take it from this place and serve you this week. For it's in your name we pray. Amen. Our hymn of response this morning is hymn number 171. There's just something about that name. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.